passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everyone and everything. Here on OTFM, part of the Om Times Radio Network, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. So, as always, this is now a show that is a live call-in show. If you would like to be part of our call-in, you may call in at 202-570, and wait for it, 7057, 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can find today's show. You can comment there, and we will share your comment on air. My today's guest, which we'll be bringing in just a moment, has been a guest before on the show and is known by many who are familiar with me as also my co-host on the Web of Light TV show that is aired coast to coast through the Public Access Television Network. Before we go there, we always start with the hot topic. And some of the hot topic is, you know, oftentimes a hot topic is something that can either warm the cockles of my heart or get me hot under the collar. Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of hot under the collar lately, to be honest with you. And it's nice to have one that warms the cockles of my heart for a change. What I want to talk about actually is that, today's guest, Angie Dionjou, and I were talking about this earlier. And actually, this is about a book that just came out. And it is a book that came out that is Kirk and Anne, Letters of Love, Laughter, and a Lifetime in Hollywood. Anne Douglas is 98 years old, and Kirk Douglas is 100 years old. They have been married for 63 years. They are definitely one of the Hollywood marriages that made it, that lasted. One of the reasons it warms the cockles of my heart is also because they did it on their terms. I haven't got the book yet. I've only read some articles about it. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about on today's show was the fact that he wasn't always faithful. She knew about it, and she didn't care. Because as long as he always told her, she knew that he was out on location, he could be lonely, and sex is not love. She was a German, she was German born, and they met in Europe, and she had a very European approach of, she didn't expect fidelity in marriage. Now, I'm not saying that everybody out there should be going, oh my God, you don't have to be, you don't have to be faithful in marriage. Well, you have to be faithful to your promises, to your commitments to your partner. But, you know, she said, quote unquote, trust and honesty are two of the qualities I find essential in a marriage, because they always openly communicated that he might have dalliances, especially if he was out on location and lonely and she was not available. She was okay with it. I would call this a mature adult relationship. So often today, you know, we're horrified when it is released that somebody was cheating on somebody else, and like the world ends because somebody couldn't either keep it in their pants or couldn't keep their panties on. Is it really the worst thing in the world? I don't know. It depends on who you're with. But again, it's called Kirk and Anne, Letters of Love, Laughter, and a Lifetime in Hollywood. I can't wait to read the book myself. But what I can tell you is it was a marriage that worked. And when I look around today, it is a marriage that seems to have worked a whole lot better than a lot of marriages out there. Even marriages that are completely faithful, where trust and honesty may not be there, where there is a lack of happiness. So I look forward to getting the book, and I encourage heartily for other people to get the book and read it with an American, read it with open eyes and not the American puritanism that so often means that we have to be judgmental of others and that we have to take others' judgments on as if they should be important to us. I think Anne Douglas is a real good example of somebody who let people keep their judgments to themselves and frankly just turned her back and didn't care. Today's guest, again, as I said, was my is my partner in crime. She's my partner in crime and getting the Web of Light Expos going and off the ground. And we have another one coming up September 30th, October 1st in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We just had a very successful expo in Nashua, New Hampshire on Earth Day weekend. And we're bringing a little bang into Pepperell, Mass for Small Town Big Bang for the Fire Fest celebration. She is also the co-founder of the Wolf Healing Center, where we bring in only the highest qualities of teachers and other practitioners to offer alternative and sometimes traditional healing and health and spiritual services for the body, mind, soul, and heart. And that is none other than Angie Dionju. Angie, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dr. Kevin. It's always good to be on your show here at OM.
At OM, on OM Times.
OM.
OM, yeah. Well, and it is also simulcast by IPM Nation, who's been simulcasting my shows for over 10 years and who actually has launched the Dr. Kevin and Friends 24-hour-a-day internet radio. And you can put in Dr. Kevin and IPM Nation, and you will find my internet TV station that they put together for me. So, Angie, awesome. What do you think? Great love story or a poor woman who bought the farm because she let her husband fool around? How do you see this? What are your thoughts?
No, I look at it, actually, I look at it as a great love story. You know, like if somebody has, like you said, and you had mentioned it, and I know we had discussed this a little before, too, because you had brought it up in one of our conversations. But, you know, I've known people who have planned out a marriage that was all about commitment, and a specific type of commitment meant, like, you know, no vows are broken. But I've also known of people who have a perfect commitment in a marriage, yet not all the vows are kept. And it has to fit the individual. Just, you know, I feel that this was an awesome success for them, obviously. They made it through so many years of marriage. However, there are some people that may look at this and say, oh, let's go try that. And they're not really ready to try that. They really have to see, you know, how are they going to handle that? Where's the trust, you know? Do they have enough trust to be that open? And if they are, and they want this type of commitment, I think it's fabulous. Now, so many times people are away, like he had been, and I don't see any harm done when you're just having somebody that you're being acquainted with at the time. Provided it's almost like I come back home, I provide, I'm sincere, I'm dedicated, and I have truth in my marriage. I'm not hiding behind the walls doing this. I'm basically bringing it out to the open. I feel that somebody who has made the commitment and said, we'll have none of that, and then they hide behind the walls, that's a worse scenario, because then you don't have truth. You know, so
well,
it can go both ways.
And, you know, part of it is, and we've got about 3 minutes before the music will start. I'll hear it before you will. So I'll try to give you a heads up that we're being drowned out for break. But part of it is that every couple should understand that as unique individuals, they get to have a unique marriage. And that society should not judge and should not be allowed to judge what works for two people, whether You know, I've worked with very successful marriages in my private practice, where, you know, he stayed home and took care of the kids and, you know, worked from home and in, you know, things that were important to him. And she went out and had the high powered job. And, you know, and mm-hmm. the only problem was in their marriage was everybody wanted to talk about, you know, boy, was she a sucker, and, you know, and how, you know, he wasn't much of a provider. But the marriage was good and it was solid and was happy and their kids were happy. As soon as they stopped mm-hmm. listening to the problems everyone else had. So non-traditional can mean a lot of different things. And sometimes I think that traditional is, I think that there are times when traditional is a death knell. It's like, it's not what makes me happy or who I am. It's what I'm, who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do to keep everybody else happy.
Yeah. Puts too many demands on the whole situation and it doesn't really help, you know, with the curves that come in any marriage, you have curves and it's up to those two who made these commitments with each other to iron out their own curves, not have somebody else put their nose into it. So yes, you know, it's like what they do, you know, and it is true what you say. I mean, it goes both ways. You know, if you have, for instance, if a couple is both decided that he does want to be the provider and he doesn't want her to do anything but be with the children, go out to play with them. So he hires nannies and he hires, you know, people to do everything. And that's his business. And some yep. people will actually sit there and go, oh, look at her. She's just taking full advantage of him. Well, not true. That's what he wants from that relationship. So, yeah, in all ways, it's feasible that people need to have their free will. And part of that free will, when you're a couple, is to determine what the two of you really, truly want out of your lifetime together.
Yep. So, I know the music is going to be coming up any minute now as I'm looking at the mm-hmm. clock. I do have an exciting announcement when we get back. And here's the music.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. The manatees are endangered and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. This week, my partner in madness and mayhem, Angie Dionju, co-host of the Web of Light Show with me, a longtime spiritual consultant, angel card reader, intuitive, the list goes on and on, and the my co-creators of the Wolf Healing Center and of the Web of Light Expo series, which we have one coming up September 30th, October 1st in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And you can go to webofLightExpo.org to get all that information. And on July 1st, we're doing Firefest, where it's going to be a day of a Sunday in the park, and it must be the 4th of July, as the song goes, where we're going to have the day full of music and stages and bands and vendors and face painters, all happening in Pepperell, Mass. And the evening will close with a front row seat for the fireworks there. And this is to help Small Town Big Bang, which raises money every year for the Pepperell fireworks. So this is going to be a huge event. Come on down. And so the Angie, we're going to move into the first segment, unless there's any other thoughts you had about our announcement about Kirk and Anne, the Love Letters book.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just waiting to hear what your big announcement is.
Okay, well, you know what my big announcement is, but I'm sure that the audience would like to know what my big announcement is. As many of you know, I've been doing radio for over 10 years now. The Dr. Kevin Show, in several different variations and formats, has gone everywhere from being terrestrial on CBS radio in Seattle, Detroit, and Boston, to being on Voice America, to being on DKRN. It goes on and on. But after 10 years, I'm always slightly changing the format and how things go. And so I've been slowly moving a little bit away from the format that I brought into Om Times when I came here to be a radio host for them. And so now the first Thursday of every month, Matt Connerton and I do what we call Neutral News. The second Monday right now, we're doing a Journey to Health series with Dr. Marion Killenbeck, a naturopath and RN, giving you some alternative health information and insights about how to deal with common problems. Now, on this, the third Thursday, Angie has agreed that we're going to, I used to have a segment called Through the Spiritual Lens. And in Through the Spiritual Lens, we would actually, you know, like take a look at something and talk about it through a spiritual lens with whoever my guest for the week was in one of my earlier iterations of my show. So on the third Thursday of every month now, Angie is going to be joining me on a regular basis. She occasionally may miss one here or there, and I'll bring in somebody else. But we're going to be, this is going to be the spiritual legend, the spiritual lens version of Dr. Kevin. We're still going to take things outside the box, behind the curtain, and decide what's a load of crap in the world, but it's going to be through a spiritual lens. So I'm happy and excited to announce that Angie and I will spend every Thursday with you here on Om Times Radio and giving you some perspectives. Angie has decades of experience as a spiritual consultant, as I do. We've seen lots. We've seen lots that work, that don't work. We've seen a lot of people that are really good shaman and a lot of people that were really just good showmen. And at the end of the day, didn't have a lot to offer, but boy, they cost a lot before you learned the lesson. So that's the big announcement. Yeah. She said, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to be mentioning names here.
No.
No. At least not in this show. So Angie, here this week we have chosen to talk about that we're going to do how to choose a spiritual teacher. So a lot of people are out there today and they're feeling as though their traditional religion has let them down. They're feeling as though that they may have to take more responsibility or be more active in their own spiritual growth. they're feeling let down by traditional medicine, who has become way too influenced by the pharmaceuticals. They feel let down by our government, who has taken corruption to an all new high. They feel let down by their churches and all sorts of things. So a lot of people out there are seekers. So somebody looking for a spiritual teacher, what would you like to talk to them about that would take out the take outside the box where they look at what they should be looking for or what they need to look for to find the right spiritual teacher?
Well, actually, truly, okay, when you're looking to find that true spiritual teacher, you know, you cannot be relying on the fact that, you know, I think everybody has acknowledged that when we have these religions or these special pieces that are put together as do as I say, not as you wish, it's pretty, that's a pretty big, you know, warning, watch out. Because in finding a true spiritual teacher, the spiritual teacher is there to be your facilitator, not your dictator. And so the warning signs should hit you rather quickly. Because if you're bowing down and saying, okay, I have to, you know, follow A through Z, all these instructions to the point, and whatever I get is, are you sure? You know, you're asking, are you sure? You don't have the right person. And the whole feeling is that when you look for a spiritual teacher, you can ask through your prayers or your meditations or whatever relief that you have when you sit in silence and ask to be brought to somebody who resonates with you. And you allow yourself to be in community so that you can find where it is that you truly resonate. Don't keep hopping from one to another unless you really get like, oh my goodness, this person is trying to sell me the moon. Then yeah, you want to leave that space. But, you know, feel this out. Look and see who you're around. See how you feel around the person that you are ready to have a facilitating experience with. And know that this person isn't there to judge you. They're there to help you to increase your spiritual flow, your closeness with your divine, whatever that may be. And,
yeah.
And I feel that's your biggest thing, is to look for that peace that you need with a particular individual or individuals, but know that you're going to feel it in your heart. You're going to feel it, that it's there.
Yeah. And the thing is, and I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in that. I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in that, and then I want to add something myself, because this in this show, we're both going to be working at taking it out of the box and you know, behind the curtains and things like this. So one thing I do want to warn people about, though, is be really clear why you're drawn to a spiritual teacher. Stop and think, who does this remind me of? Because sometimes we will bring a spiritual teacher into our life because we think we've learned a lesson, or we want to claim that we've learned a lesson, or we've avoided a lesson. So if you're suddenly find that you're drawn to a spiritual teacher, and then you get really quiet and say, who does this teacher make me think of? How does this teacher make me feel? And you realize they make you feel comfortable because they're so dominating, because they remind you of your unresolved issues with your father or with, you know, the religious organization that brought you up that might have been very inflexible and demanding. And what feels comfortable is it's just somebody else using different words to tell you what to do and how to think. But that can feel familiar. So, you know, yes, it has to feel correct, but you also have to find out why it feels correct. Does it feel correct as a good thing? Or does it feel correct? Mm-hmm. Because if you really think about it, you go, oh, what's comfortable here is I have somebody that's being abusive to me. And I'm used to being emotionally abused by the people that are in charge of my life. And so they may have a new age language to it, and they may wear fun and funky clothes, and they may run around barefoot, but they're still underneath a very dominating influence. So just check in. I agree with you, Angie, to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But I want people to make sure they know why they're drawn to that spiritual teacher. And do they have to go through another round of abuse before they figure out that that's really not what spirit is about? Spirit doesn't really want you subservient.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I mean, I am a spiritual consultant, and I honestly will tell people that come to me and ask me where to send them, I'll say, I'm not always the answer. You have to make sure that you get all your pieces together, not just one specific section. So, you know, it's like, that's my way of giving them their freedom. And I also will show them a method of anything that has to do with bringing spirituality, whether it be meditation, looking into doing some card readings, looking into mediumship. But I will kind of give them the ball and say, let's see, you know, what feels comfortable to you. You know, I give them the basics, you know, with protection methods and different pieces that are necessary when you start to dabble with spirituality. But I also give them the ball to run with and say, check it out, come back with some ideas, feel how it feels. Do you like doing this? Do you like doing that? You know, you need somebody, again, I do feel that a facilitator is what you're looking for, not a full blown out, you know, like I'm the disciple of the seventh star and I'm going to make you do this, this, and this.
And that is our key. We're going to be coming right back with Angie Dionju and how to choose a spiritual teacher.
Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everything and everyone. This is the third Thursday of the month, and that means it's a Through the Spiritual Lens Dr. Kevin Show, where my cohort and partner in crime, Angie Dionju, spiritual consultant, angel card reader, and all over spiritual mama, Sometimes we call her on the Web of Light show, Mrs. Partridge, joins me as we are taking different spiritual subjects or even things going on in the world and making sure we're putting them through a spiritual lens for you. Today, we're talking about how to choose a spiritual teacher. Now we are in the behind the curtain segment. Where do we want to take the curtain back and show what the truth of a situation is that probably has been misrepresented or has been spun? I'm going to start this segment. I let Angie start the last segment. And where I'd like to take people behind the curtain is I want to draw the curtain back on this thing we call God and what it means to us. And how I want to draw that curtain back is that, you know, for years, because I've been a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst full-time for 27 years now, people will come to me and sometimes they'll say, you know, that they've heard about me, that I've been recommended to them, they want to work out a problem in their family, their lives, their marriages, whatever. I kind of sort of do it all in those areas. And they will say, but are you going to, you know, because you're quote unquote spiritual, are you going to try to give me a God? And my response is, it's not my job to give you a God. It's my job to help you have a better relationship with the God you have. Now, if the God you have doesn't work for you, then we fire them and find another one, because there are plenty out there and they all are looking for converts. And I say that, and I know people laugh and they think I'm being funny, but I'm being very serious. You know, God is as we choose to define it. For some people, that is an angry and wrathful God. For some people, it's a God of love. For some, it's a God of gluttony or lust. For some, it is, a God of vengeance. There are all sorts of different gods out there. And we have to have our own unique individual relationship. Now, I will not promote or support abusive gods, dominant tyrannical gods, patriarchal gods that create a double standard and look at either of the genders as a lesser species. There are some religions out there that are more goddess-based, and they look at men as some human. Our traditional religions tend to be more patriarchal, and women are kind of second-class citizens, walk three steps behind. And so I think it's important, and what I want to take this back with is, God is uniquely who you choose that God to be, and the relationships you choose to have with that God. And that if you are looking for a spiritual teacher, you don't want to have a spiritual teacher that is trying to bend your knee to their version of God. God, goddess, Ali, Buddha, great spirit, great pumpkin, I don't care what you call it. But never go to a spiritual teacher who is trying to force you into the altar of their God. They should introduce you to their God. And you may find that your God and their God are similar, that there are places they're alike, places they cross over, places where they're kissing cousins, but it still should be your God. So that's where I want to take behind take the curtain back and expose the truth as I see it. Angie, what do you think?
I'm kind of chuckling a little bit, but, you know, in my psychic development course and my spiritual classes that I develop and work with people, an entire session is dedicated on the idea of God. And what I have compiled is pages and pages and pages of different exposures of God, so to speak. And their different beliefs and their different attitudes and how people relate and all of that. And my conclusion with all that I have seen, all that I have researched, is God is love. And love has to be what you find to be your truth. And it's kind of funny because you were saying that because they compare. Okay, we will maybe have a class of 8 or 10 people sometimes. and some of them may be of some other type of belief, but as they bring in the factor of what their God is, they find many very similar pieces to what his God is and her God is and my God is. So I've seen it time and time again. The only straight factor that keeps coming up over and over again is God is love. God is infinite. God is love. So I would never sit there and say, oh my goodness, don't go to that. Don't go to this religious place. However, again, like you said, if it's a God that causes major issues or causes harm, that's the only God that I will be destructive upon, because harm is not an equation for anybody. That there's enough harm on the earth plane without exposing somebody through the Creator with that.
Well, and how often you and I have both seen in our, you know, between the two of us, we have decades and decades of working with clients and, you know, individuals, groups, whatever. And how often do we have to actually heal the damage made from a childhood where the child was exposed to a abusive God? And, you know, and sometimes, you know, people don't get it sometimes when I use this term, or people looked at me like I've had two heads or laughed at me, but there is spiritual abuse. And
so
when you make go ahead.
I got something to say about that one, because those people that are going through that abuse through the factor of that God, that abuse is created by those that are bringing that child up or what they expose that child to. And it all depends on how you portray what God is in your eyes.
Yeah. Well, when you have, I mean, today we have what I believe to probably be an all-time high of people with mental and emotional issues that include lack of self-worth, lack of self-esteem, depression is at an all-time high. Now, some of this is because it's engineered, because it helps pharmaceutical companies sell drugs, and it's pushed, and the media really promotes it. But the media only took a book out of the page of a lot of traditional religions, which is you have to beat the individuality and uniqueness out of a person so they will be subservient and they will obey the church, whatever that church is. And I'm very clearly not picking on any religion here at all. I'm picking on all religions that feel like they have to make being a unique individual a bad thing, that you are going to hell. You're not going to be part of the chosen one, you know. And I don't care whether that religion, you know, whether it comes to, you know, getting, what is it, 29, 27 virgins or 21 virgins, or a place in the kingdom of heaven on the right hand of Jesus because you were small-minded and subservient and weren't anybody of who you were, but you were the perfect Christian. So I don't care what the religion is. They all line up and fall really short when you're preaching a hateful, judgmental God. And it's hateful if that God is a God that says, look, you were born this way, and it's bad, and it's wrong, and shame on you, and you're going to hell for it, so get over it. Really? Tell me the logic on that one, because I miss it, Angie. Is there any logic you can see on that one?
Well, that's just that's purely empowerment in a nutshell. There's a lot of organizations that want to have that empowerment, because that will keep feeding them and keep them in existence. just like any, you know, every, I mean, that, you know, empowerment sometimes can be evil when it doesn't understand when enough is enough. So I feel that's what you see. However, I will say, as you know, when I was very young, and if I compare, if I look back at that from today's standard, you know, it's like there was a lot people, well, okay, I'm going to say it this way. People took upon that judgment to themselves. Now they tend to they're starting to look for their spiritual. Where is my spiritual? I see more and more coming out of the woodwork because they're starting to realize that this cannot be all that I have around me. This is ungodly God that wants me to follow this path that is all like putting me down to the poor me level instead of helping me to create who I truly am. And so you see a lot of people right now, and this is a very strong movement. I've seen it all over the place in all types of religious beliefs. People are coming out and starting to question and say, okay, I'm going to start questioning this. I want to see my truth in this.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, going back to the theme of this show is when you're looking for a spiritual teacher, it should be one that is empowering you and not enabling you. Not enabling you to hold on to your low self-worth, your low self-esteem. Not enabling you to hide in the shadows or play small or live from a place of fear. And that when you are interviewing, and we'll be right back because that's the sound of the music here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Om Times. This is a live call-in show now. If you want to participate in this conversation on how to best choose a spiritual teacher, you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you hit the like button because I'm a likable guy. And at the top, you will see tonight's posting. Or you can tweet me at Web of Light. That's at Web of Light. And if you tweet me, I will get that as well. And in any of those cases, we will bring your questions, concerns, or thoughts on air. If you are listening to this as a replay, because this show will replay multiple times, or you are getting it as one of the downloads, because it is also available, then you can still go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, go down the feed, find the posting on the how to do a spiritual teacher, how to find your spiritual teacher, and you can still post questions or thoughts. If there are questions, either Angie or Angie and I may both hop on there and we will answer your questions for you. So even if you are listening to this as a replay, you can still be part of the conversation. Angie, still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah. And that leads me into, you know, through good times and bad times, I'm
yeah.
still here. And I'm here. So, and here in the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, here on our Through the Spiritual Lens Thursday, the third Thursday of the month with Dr. Kevin and Angie, we are on the What a Load of Crap segment. So in choosing a spiritual teacher, what do you think are the biggest loads of crap that people have to avoid stepping in?
Loads of crap are... somebody that's trying to sell you the moon, somebody that's trying to tell you that you're on the spiritual path and it's going to help you to, it's like they promise you the world. That's a load of crap. If they're starting to try to sell you crystals for $500, that's a load of crap. If they're trying to create you so that you only do it their way, that's a load of crap. You have to really stand up for yourself. I know that this, again, like I said, it's a facilitator, not somebody who's going to be controlling of you. So all of these things that they present to you are loads of crap, because we as spiritual consultants, as people who work with our spiritual goals, we ask, we give gratitude, and we receive. We don't need to put down the diamond stone in the middle of the altar in order to do so.
Yeah, and we don't have to go out and buy that diamond stone and hold it for $5,000 and send it
no.
to them, and then all of our karma will be cleared. I
yes.
am so tired
so, you know,
after, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So I'm so
Boy,
tired.
Can we tell you stories.
Yeah, and I am so tired. You know, I started doing professional psychic work in the late 70s, and I've seen a lot of spiritual fads come and go. But I'm so tired of the people who think, oh, well, I can just do it the easy way. This person is going to do a session on me and clean all my karmic history. Or I'm going to go sit in a cave with a skull for $500 for a half an hour, and I will be enlightened to the next level because this skull is going to bring me up. You know what? Your spiritual path at times is going to be hard work. Healing and facing your dark side sometimes can be hard work. We all have a shadow side, and facing that shadow side can be painful. Getting really honest with ourselves and seeing how people that we have loved and may still love and want to continue loving may have accidentally or intentionally had negative impacts on who we are and how we grew spiritually. And this is not a, oh, you get to blame your parents for everything. But this
oh,
is
definitely.
A, no, but this is definitely, it's a load of crap that you're going to take the easy way, and you're just going to, you know, take a magic herb or supplement or crystal or whatever, and suddenly you're just going to be farting unicorns and the world will be perfect. And I see people that would go out and rather spend their life savings working with somebody who keeps reassuring this, it has nothing to do with you, and you don't have to worry about it, or this is because your soul came from Venus, or this is that, and this is how it is, and oh, or one of the big load of craps is, you know, oh, you have to stay in this abusive relationship with your husband because you owe it to him, or you stay in the relationship with your abusive wife because you owe it to her because of a karmic debt from a past lifetime. So you have to stay there and take it, you know, and i.e.
Yeah.
They make a ton of money and you're spending that money with me, so don't you dare leave them, because then you're not going to be able to afford me. But they don't say that part of it, right? It doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't.
No.
We come into lifetimes to learn and evolve and figure things out. and move into a place of being our God self. And our God self isn't getting kicked in the teeth by our spouse and told it's okay because we kicked them in the teeth back in the 1500s. It just doesn't work that way. It's not okay. It wasn't okay in the 1500s, and it's not okay now. Think I got any energy on the subject?
Well, I think you got that right out of your little flutters. But no, it's true. I love what you're it's so very true. You know, anybody has a spiritual path that they're following. And, you know, you keep saying that people can comment on your Facebook page, I believe you're talking about.
Yep.
I'd love to have some of these people who are listening to us that have gone through, perhaps they took training in energy healing and they started out just kind of damply touching it, and then they went in and did some true classes, and I'd love them to share a couple of their down, bad, crap experiences that they actually had to go through in order to understand who they truly were, because it's like you said, we learn the lessons by walking through the path. We don't learn lessons. We don't gain our spirituality by just, you know, blowing a balloon and throwing it in the air. It's not going to go away that easily.
No, and there, you know, there
people
are...
People have to be aware.
And there are times when you can do ritual or do ceremony or do something to help promote and support and maybe bring closure to all the hard work you've done.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still work involved. And, you know, when you're so often raised in a religion where they don't really ask you to work, they ask you to go for forgiveness or, you know, to try to be a better person, but not really deep soul work, because they kind of outline right and wrong in a black and white inflexible box, where more often than not, you're going to end up being wrong. And you're not asked to do deep soul work. You're not asked to look at yourself, warts and all. And you're not asked to look at where you co-created and participated in experiences. If you have defined yourself as a victim, then everybody else is the perpetrator.
Yeah. But if you take that and decide that you aren't the victim and that you need to be on top of it, and you don't no longer have to be the victim. You have to, in other words, you have to step out of the triangle. And if you can't step out of the triangle and look into it and realize, why am I stepped in that triangle? You know, somebody, whoever your spiritual teacher is, you're looking for somebody that's going to give you that empowerment to step out of that triangle and find out where you best fit. Not stay in the triangle and go over and over the same lesson.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, and we've got about a minute and a half, I would say, maybe 2 minutes max before we're going to get drowned out by the closing credits. So
I have one little piece I did want to say with that.
Go ahead.
This is something that, and I believe that anyone who's a good spiritual consultant is training people in this. It's called unconditional love. And unconditional love starts with you. And if a spiritual teacher knows how to bring about having you go through unconditional love, you have to go through experiences in order to understand that.
Yeah. The last thought I'd like to put out, because I know I'm going to try to rush it in at the end, is if you're really looking for, there's a difference between the spiritual people that are teaching spiritual classes along the way that may have a piece to your puzzle, or as I like to say in Combing the Mirror, a cobblestone for your spiritual path. But they're there to hand you an idea and a thought, a tool, a skill set. But they're not really a spiritual teacher that you are working with in a very intense way. One of the things is be careful of people that are teaching things they only learned 5 minutes ago. If you're going to be interviewing for a spiritual teacher, how much do they do? What is the breadth and the width and the depth of their knowledge, their understanding, their experience? It is very disturbing to me today to find a lot of people putting themselves as a spiritual teacher, and they're teaching something that they learned 3 or 4 months earlier that they had no experience with. And then suddenly, many times, they're just parroting the whoever they went to with a small exception, and oftentimes not even giving credit for that, presenting it as if it was theirs. They stumble if you ask them deep and meaningful questions because, you know, they don't have the experience. They haven't been out there doing it. They don't have the knowledge to draw from. They just may be talented, gifted, spiritual children pretending to be spiritual adults. So you really want to watch for that and be careful of one-trick ponies. You know, the old, if you only have a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. If you have somebody that wants to... And that's the end of our show. And thanks, Angie Dionju, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you again. Be well.